It's Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 40, 18. You'll never forget the music of your youth. Well, I won't forget mine either. We'll do it next. And still we continued on through the night. He is Jackson Browne. The album is Late for the Sky. It's my top. It'd make my top three. I fell in love with music very early on in my life, preteens for sure. AM radio was about all there was. Hit radio. FM radio really began to hit in the late 60s, but most towns had a single station that was FM. Likely because FM broadcasting at the time was expensive, and so it took a while to catch on. By 1970, 1971, rock FM stations were, well, they were more commonplace, and if you were lucky, like I was, you lived where there was an album-oriented rock station, AOR. And from about 1974 through 1976 or so, I lived on album-oriented rock. Mostly WJBO-FM in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, known as Loose Radio. And it was loose, and it was wonderful. I lived in Leisure Landing, a record shop on State Street, just a block from the entrance of Louisiana State University. Well, I didn't actually live there, but I might as well have. Spiritual Sky Incense burning. Crowded narrow aisles, flipping through album covers, reading liner notes and listening to the records that were playing and paying attention to the band members and even the producers and the recording engineers. I learned very early on that if I could find a producer, if I found a band or an artist that I really liked, and I found somebody else that I'd never heard of, but I knew the producer had produced somebody else that I really liked, I'd take a chance. Yeah, this is back in the days where you'd take a gamble on a record based on the album cover or based on other people maybe that appeared on the album. Leisure Landing, they got all my money as a teenager. I mean, all my money. Every spare dime I had went to buy music. And it was there in Leisure Landing that I first heard the voice of Phoebe Snow. It was there in Leisure Landing that I first heard a song, Wisteria, by Dan Fogelberg from his initial foray. It was there that I heard Ian Matthews, Some Days You Eat the Bear, Some Days the Bear Eats You. And man, I could go on and on. There were so many others who became part of my musical memory and my musical consciousness. But I already had a pretty high music IQ from the early 70s because I was a faithful reader of Rolling Stone and Melody Maker. Melody Maker was a magazine. Well, I think of it as the UK version of Rolling Stone. Maybe not quite so much. Rolling Stone had Hunter S. Thompson and Ben Fong Torres and, you know, some political stuff and, it was the Vietnam era, so the political stuff was kind of interesting. But I was mainly there for the music. Melody Maker, on the other hand, was pretty much a UK kind of a thing. It was based out of London, and it kept me abreast of what was happening in England. It helped me discover and keep up with Leo Sayer and Dave Mason. I'm sorry, Dave. Traffic, and, there were a lot of favorite UK artists at the time. Music was in our cars as 8-track tapes. Having music other than a radio in your car, man, that was great. But the clicking between the tracks, and yep, there were four of them. Hence, there were, hard to explain. It was annoying. Let's just say it was annoying because it could happen in the middle of a song and not the greatest production value on the planet. When you're in mid-song and all of a sudden, click, click, it changed tracks. Not to mention it was lower fidelity compared to vinyl and even compared to cassettes, but it would be a while before cassettes would really catch on in cars. We wore out Led Zeppelin II. We wore out ZZ Top, Tres Hombres. I mean, those are 2 8 tracks in particular, and there were others, but you know, it's kind of the hard rock stuff in your car. In the summer of 1972, the anthem for all kids was Alice Cooper's School's Out. I've embedded a video over at the website. Yeah, we had to go see Alice. I mean, come on, every high school kid had to go see Alice. I mean, after all, we had heard that he'd bite off the head of a live chicken during his shows. We were way too young to understand the theatrics of a rock and roll show. We just thought it was cool. But along with our bell-bottom pants and our crazy collared shirts, it was a time of grand rumors, urban legend, and some of the goofiest teenage conversations ever. Hey, did you know that Alice Cooper is really Wally on Leave It to Beaver? No, he's not, and he wasn't, but we had those kind of conversations, and that rumor did go around for a while. Words like cool and phrases like dig it, I mean, those just peppered our lingo. Well, we were cool. Can't you dig it? I mean, we wore mirrored sunglasses. You know, I'd still wear mirrored sunglasses if I had a pair. There was car music, and then there was sit in your room music. And those weren't the same. Not for me. In the room music included Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Four Way Street. Speaking of which, if you want to hear Stephen Stills use phrase dig it repeatedly, you can listen to that record. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Four Way Street, and the soundtrack to Shaft by Isaac Hayes. I think I wore out multiple copies of both, and they were double LPs, by the way. I don't remember listening to either one of those in the car, ever. Another in-the-room favorite for me was John Prine. I don't know where, but I heard John Prine sing Sam Stone sometime in the early 70s. And I knew I had found a guy that I could relate to. John Prine was given to melancholy subjects. And he wasn't a great singer, except of his own songs. I mean, nobody sang them better. Sorry, Bonnie Raitt, but not even you sing Angel from Montgomery better than John. And I, too, was prone to bouts of being blue, so John was just right up my alley. And I've been in that alley with John ever since. Far, far away, Quiet Man, Donald and Lydia, and other songs, other tunes from that very first record released in 1971. Those have remained for me all-time favorites. And if you've not heard any of those, just go listen to John Prine, John Prine. By the next year, I found Jackson Browne, and I found Jackson Browne because of his hit, Doctor My Eyes. It was his first album, and I felt like I had found a new musical best friend to accompany Mr. Prine. And by the time 1974 rolled around and Jackson released Late for the Sky, well, it was over for me. I had found a record that would crack my all-time, you know, I say all-time top 10. It'd probably crack top 3 for me still. Alternative country, or alt country, as it was known, and I guess it still is known, was a genre that I was falling in love with by this time, by the time we get to 1973-74. Sparked in part by exposure that was given to me by way of Loose Radio. And it wasn't hard for me to embrace that because I had been a longtime fan of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And folk rock was a really strong first cousin to alt country. The Byrds, they were already part of the collection for me, along with Buffalo Springfield and the Flying Burrito Brothers. So this wasn't completely groundbreaking for me to kind of fall in love with this alt country thing. And this was a time when I listened to the same music in the car as I did alone in my room. Namely, for me, Pure Prairie League and Poco. Crazy Eyes for Poco, for sure. And Bustin' Loose for Pure Prairie League. Were far and away the two big records that were playing a lot for me in these years. And TV shows helped. by the way, for the first time, Don Kirshner's Rock Concert and the Midnight Special. These were both TV programs that hit the scene in 1973, and both of them ran through the rest of the decade and ended about 1981. And I loved both shows. Sure, we all listened to the Rolling Stones, and I think the Rolling Stones, if I'm not mistaken, they debuted Don Kirshner's Rock Concert. Can you imagine? We listened to the Rolling Stones. We listened to Led Zeppelin, and we absolutely wore out Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. 741 straight weeks on the Billboard chart. Dark Side of the Moon, released in 1973. And you talk about a record that holds up. Yeah. Go slap that on your turntable if you have one. Slap that into your earbuds if you're MP3-ing it. Still holds up. Well, by this time, the music world had buried quite a few stars. 1970, Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix both died. I was a Jimi fan, but I didn't own anything by Janis. Sam Cooke and Otis Redding, they had both passed in the 60s prior to my real musical awareness kicking in. And I was a big Motown fan, and I loved that entire genre of music, still do, especially traditional Motown. Thankfully, I got in on the last of it, long enough for it to be really cemented in my mind and my life. Brian Jones, he died, leaving Mick Jagger as the front man of the Stones, but most of my memories are of Mick, not Brian. Jim Morrison, well, he blew the Doors up when he died in 1971, but I always hated the Doors. I did own L.A. Woman, only because I thought I'd try to see if I could develop a taste for what everybody was raving about. I couldn't. And to this day, if I'm in a car and I hear a Doors tune on the radio, which you can recognize instantly, I'm switching stations as quickly as I can possibly get my fingers to the knob. That same year, in 1971, the year that Morrison died, that brought about the death of somebody that I did indeed miss, Duane Allman. The Allman Brothers had a sound that wasn't like anybody else's sound, and I was a big fan. I mean, that whole Southern rock genre would catch on again, but the next time it came back around, it would hit much larger, because a little group called Lynyrd Skynyrd would erupt in 1973. Now, that was some driving music. Absolutely some driving music. Graham Parsons, Jim Croce. I loved Jim Croce's high harmony sideman, who was also killed at the same time. His name was Maury. He had a funky last name that escapes me, but I do remember Maury. And I really enjoyed listening to him sing high harmony. Mama Cass, Cass Elliott, Tim Buckley, Tommy Bolin. There was no record more popular when I was a kid than Deep Purple's Machine Head. I mean, Smoke on the Water? You kidding me? Man, it was an anthem. It was an anthem all year round. Maybe Alice Cooper's School's Out was a summer anthem, but Deep Purple Machine Head, it was an anthem for all kinds of seasons. And all of these had died before I finished my sophomore year of college at LSU. And then in August of 77, of course, Elvis died. I wasn't a big fan, but my maternal grandmother was. She would watch every Elvis movie on TV. I just always thought that was funny. It still is funny to me. And even though I wasn't a big fan, his death impacted the entire world. And I was at work at an electronics shop when the news broke. It was one of those moments where you remembered where you were. T-Rex had also been a big favorite for driving music. Because about a month after Elvis died, Mark Bolan died, leaving us to play Get It On from Electric Warrior album, knowing that glam rock would probably never quite be the same. And speaking of Getting It On, I was an enormous Marvin Gaye fan. Let's Get It On was released in 1973, and it seemed to stay on my turntable forever. I mean, I could have likely had a separate turntable just for that record. I was saddened by his death in 1984, more than I was for probably any of the aforementioned. and probably because his own dad shot him, but more likely I missed his music. I missed his music more than the others. Hendrix was a guy that, you know, I could only take for so long. Janis, well, like I said, I didn't own anything by her. Greg Allman, he kept the Allman Brothers going, and Dickie Betts and others kind of stepped it up. Cass Elliot was an extraordinary talent, and I'd suppose her death was next in line for me based solely on the voice that was now silenced. Yeah, I wasn't real happy to lose Marvin. And of course, prior to Marvin's murder, we lost the Lynyrd Skynyrd boys. We lost Keith Moon. We lost Donny Hathaway. But the decade of the 70s would end with a death that left a major void in my musical life, because in 1979, Lowell George died, and Little Feat would never be the same. I mean, how could they? I can't remember the year or which of the two rock concert TV shows. I think it was the Midnight Special, but I'm not positive. I think the Midnight Special first introduced me to Little Feat. Feats Don't Fail Me Now continues to be on my playlist. There's hardly a month. I venture to guess there's not a month that goes by that I don't listen to Feats Don't Fail Me Now at least once. And like so many others, come on, it's like a Lay's potato chip. You can't just take one. You got to listen repeatedly. Speaking of Midnight Special, I'm certain that my first real introduction to Steely Dan also came via that show. To be fair, Little Feat had a hit with Rock and Roll Doctor, which drew them onto the Midnight Special, and ditto for Steely Dan. They had a hit with Reelin' in the Years. And that's a record, much like Little Feat's Don't Fail Me Now. It gets regular listens from me, still, every month. And of course, Steely Dan went on to record more great music, and they still are recording great music. I guess with the passing of Lowell George and the end of the decade, I put a wrapper on the 70s, and I knew that this music, all of this music up to this point in my life would likely define my life musically anyway. I don't know that I really knew that at the time, but I look back now and realize it did, and it has. For years, I've settled on a single year that mostly defines it for me, 1974. So many great records were released that year. I graduated high school in December of 1974. I was technically the class of 75, but I graduated a semester early because I could. Walked into the principal's office and said, "I'm here to get it." They handed it to me, and that was my graduation ceremony. Records, though, that still fill my earbuds and still fill my headphones or play on my studio monitors from 1974. It's a lengthy list, and I could have listed more, but let me give you a taste of it. Jackson Browne, Late for the Sky. Joni Mitchell, Court and Spark. Queen, 2. Steely Dan, Pretzel Logic. Graham Parsons, Grievous Angel. Lou Reed, Rock and Roll Animal. Now there's a driving record right there, kids. Rolling Stones, It's Only Rock and Roll. Eric Clapton, 461 Ocean Boulevard. You know where that's at, don't you? That's where he kind of did a little bit of heroin rehab. Randy Newman, Good Old Boys. An awesome record. And I listened to Randy Newman, Good Old Boys, easily every month. Linda Ronstadt, Heart Like a Wheel. Sad that she's lost her voice due to illness. You want about as good a driving record as you're ever going to hope to find, especially if you want to go fast. Robin Trower, Bridge of Sighs. Shoot, I'll go out on a limb and tell you there is no better driving music made than Robin Trower, Bridge of Sighs. I bought that record for a young lady, by the way, that I was rather fond of in high school. No, that's as far as we'll go. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young so far. Hey, kids, you like Rush? Yeah. Rush, 1974. Come on. I could rest my case right there. Joe Walsh, So What? one of my all-time favorite records, and I listen to the snot out of this thing still today. Ry Cooder, Paradise and Lunch. I'm a huge Ry Cooder fan. Beach Boys, Endless Summer. Okay, sorry, never was a Beach Boys fan, but come on, Endless Summer, you kind of got to list it. Robert Palmer, Sneaking Sally Through the Alley. Yeah, I was a fan. Todd Rundgren, yeah, a fan. The Meters from down in Nolens, Rejuvenation, big fan. Van Morrison, Van's the man. He is still the man. And I've got everything the man's done. It's Too Late to Stop Now, 1974. And of course, Little Feat, Feats Don't Fail Me Now. Joni Mitchell released her live record, which still holds up as one of the all-time best live recordings, I think, Miles of Isles. Marvin Gaye, too, had a live record that year. Gordon Lightfoot, Sundown, gifted storyteller. Leo Sayer from Across the Pond, Just a Boy. Jimmy Buffett's A1A, yeah, back when Jimmy was Jimmy. Doobie Brothers, What Were Once Vices Are Now Habits. J.J. Cale from Tulsa, Oklahoma, released Okie in 1974. Average White Band, I still love the juke and the jive of the AWB. Commodores, Machine Gun. Rufus, Chaka Khan, Rufusized, 1974. Jorma Kokkonen. I always have trouble pronouncing Jorma's name. Qua, terrific record. He of Jefferson Airplane, by the way, for those of you that don't know. Supremes anthology came out. Fleetwood Mac, man alive, heroes are hard to find. This is pre-Stevie Nicks, pre-Lindsey Buckingham days. Heroes are hard to find. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles anthology. I think I'm right about that. Heroes are hard to find. You think I should check that live while I'm recording? Think I will. Bear with me as I do some clicking here. Just something tells me, you know, that was, it was the last album with Bob Welch, I think. Because Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham replaced him. And I am correct, kids. I win a prize. It was Bob Welch, Christine McVie, John McVie, and Mick Fleetwood. And that's a great record, by the way. Heroes are hard to find. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles anthology came out that year. Wishbone Ash, There's the Rub. Ace, Five Aside. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. 1974. Poco 7, wasn't my favorite. Dan Fogelberg's Souvenirs came out. Boz Skaggs, Slow Dancer. Hey, we were introduced to Boz in 1974. And Souther Hillman Furry Band. You've never heard of them, but I loved them all. J.D. Souther, Chris Hillman, Richie Furay. Yeah, you're talking Poco, Birds. There's your alt country. I could wax on and on. Yeah, no kidding. So many artists, so many great songs, so many great recordings. And now, for me, so many great memories. It was a time before assigned seating at concerts when you would rush the doors, you sprint to the front of the stage and you never sat down. Concert crowds weren't filled with successful business types or people with any glamour. I mean, nobody was dressed up. It was just us kids. Blue jean wearing, t-shirt, Converses, and ticket prices were cheap. Well, much cheaper by today's standards. I saw Three Dog Night, War, England Dan and John Ford Coley, Wet Willie, and other names from the 70s, all before I could even drive. And I must admit, the performances, including the sound and the lighting, have vastly improved from those early days. But I do often miss just seeing a band or a musician hit the stage and perform the music with the grit and the intensity that we used to see. I mean, Lee Oscar coming on stage for War and just tearing it up on that harmonica was just terrific stuff. And band members coming out and throwing frisbees into the crowd. It was grand, man. Today it's polished. Today it's carefully orchestrated. It's completely mapped out. I mean, even the banter is mapped out and choreographed. It's the McDonald's approach to live, well, I guess large live events. You can go to the House of Blues, you can go to some other places, you know, more intimate kind of places, and still see kind of gritty performances, but yeah, people my age don't do that. You know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get because the quality is consistent, and I guess that's not a bad thing. No matter, I'm too old. I'm too old to go to live music much anymore. And tickets are so expensive, and most of the venues aren't ones that I would enjoy anyway. I mean, to be fair, nothing much is going to compare to paying $1.02 to see Jimmy Buffett play Gordon Theater in downtown Baton Rouge for a midnight concert. It began after the last movie let out. The ticket prices were matching the frequency of the radio station, 102 FM. Loose radio. The Coral Reefer Band was a lone guitarist at the time. Jimmy's done well for himself. But I'm a fan of the early stuff when he and Jerry Jeff Walker would play quite a bit together around Baton Rouge and New Orleans, and a Highland Park kid from here in Dallas, Texas, named Willis Allen Ramsey hit the scene. One record, and Willis was done. Must be nice. And man, it's a great record. Willis Allen Ramsey. Willis is still playing around somewhere down the hill country of Texas. Been talked for 20 years about another record coming, and it's never shown up. As an adult, I've seen some terrific bands that are still favorites. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Alison Krauss and Union Station, Jamie Cullum, Jason Mraz, Regina Spektor, R.E.M., Dire Straits, others. I'm still a fan of today's music, and I'm more discriminating than some, maybe. But that's always been kind of the rule for me. I've never much cared what my friends were listening to because I did my own thing. And there are some terrific artists today. And thanks to Spotify and other streaming music services, I can hunt around and I can find great music. Well, I can find great music easier than I ever could before. That's kind of a great thing. I'm not stuck in the 70s, but most days when a mood hits me, well, really, any kind of a mood, I revert back to the songs of my youth. And it's likely, it's very, 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 very likely that I revert back to John Prine, Jackson Browne, Jorma Kokkonen, or something else from the 70s. And after about an hour or so of immersing myself back in time with these songs, I'll come back to myself and I'll step back into the present. And I'll listen to more modern offerings. And I'll leave you with a little bit of Jorma Kokkonen, because you probably hadn't heard him. And Qua was a great record. He's still a great picker, by the way. And it was just, it was and still is a great, great record and a great favorite of mine. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. And I'll leave you with I'll Be All Right by Jorma Kokkonen.
Be all right, I'll be all right someday. Deep in my heart, I do believe I'll be all right someday. If trouble comes, I don't pay no mind, I'll be all right someday. Deep in my heart, I do believe I'll be all right someday. I
It's a record you need to buy. Yeah, you'll enjoy it. Trust me, you'll enjoy it. Give you a taste of the 70s. Three Dog Night. War. Yeah, some of these kind of gone by the wayside. Some of these people are still alive and kicking, though, like Mr. Kokanen. Still picking. John Prine, he's had some health issues. John's not looking too good, but I was happy to go see him live as well. And he still sounds as terrific as ever. Jackson Brown, well, you know, the voice just never grows old. Not to me. I don't know what the music of your youth is, but whatever it is, I dare say you're never going to forget it. And that's episode 4018. You'll never forget the music of your youth. See you next time.